The title of this course is Creative Lesson Plans. This course serves as the teacher training session number 4 for the group studies for new Christians. There is a PowerPoint presentation and a note sheet to use as you listen to this tape. Visit the website iteenchallenge.org and go to the staff training section to locate this course and the list of items you can download to use for personal study or for teaching others in your ministry. This session was taped at the Regional Teachers Seminar in Lincoln, Alabama in October 2008. The presenter is Dave Batty.
To prepare creative lesson plans. Another title could be, what are the basics of putting together a lesson plan? And we're talking about teaching in the group studies for new Christians courses, but you can use these same guidelines for any class that you teach. And so I would encourage you, as we go through this particular course, to look at it as how you can develop the discipline of creative lesson planning. I said in the last session that some of us don't feel very creative. And my response is, I'm not going to buy that. Okay? Don't tell me that. I'm not going to buy it. Because creativity is not about this magical genius gift that only a few people... That's not what makes you a creative teacher. What makes you a creative teacher is discipline. What's the worst method of teaching?
Reading.
Dump truck. Apathy.
One-way communication.
We got a good list of ideas. Here's what Larry Richards said. The same. The worst method of teaching is the same. If you only teach one method, only one way, you're robbing your students of what they deserve. They deserve more than that. And you can do more than that if you will discipline yourself in this area of lesson planning. Now, let me just quickly say, you can have a plan but still have poor structure. The guy who built his house on the sand had a plan. And it was an easy plan. It was a convenient plan. But when the storms came, the house was destroyed. And just because you have a plan doesn't mean you have good structure. Okay? We're getting to structure. Now, in the class, the student is the main character. Think of a movie. Who's the main character of the movie? In the class, who is the main character? It is not the teacher. It's the student. We are part of the supporting cast as the teacher. Next, everything else is there to serve the student. We are there to facilitate what God wants to do in their lives. We are there to facilitate, to initiate, to help them along in this discipleship process. And you know what? If you do that, they will rise and call you blessed. And they will say, you are one of the most influential people in my life at this point. So I just would encourage you to see how you can serve. Now, there's one more thing here. Everything presented is there to lead to the main climax. And the main climax is an effective personal application. That personal application is what it's all... That's where we're headed for. From start with the end in mind. What do we want to end up with as our personal application? And then everything else needs to be moving towards that. Now, in the group studies for new Christians courses... These 14 courses, each of them has a teacher's manual, and these lesson plans have a lot of ideas on how to teach those lessons. But you're certainly welcome to be much more creative than what's given in the teacher's manual. Let me suggest that as you develop, as you begin to prepare how you're going to teach these courses, that you begin to put in place the structure of what a good lesson looks like on a daily basis. And the first thing is to get their attention, the hook. The activity that you use to get their attention should be something to pull them into the subject that you're wanting to cover that day. Now, when I was teaching these classes in Brooklyn, the classroom that we met in had a cement floor. And I had a metal wastebasket in my classroom at that point. And I was teaching one of the classes. I'm not sure whether it was the one in How Can I Know I'm a Christian or the one in Successful Christian Living, where we were talking, or attitudes, where we were talking about attitudes, how people respond differently emotionally. I think it was in How Can I Know I'm a Christian. And that particular morning, I got to class, and I was intentionally not making eye contact with the students. I was intentionally not talking with them. But I was there, and everything was ready, and they were talking and, you know, carrying on. And so it was about time to start, so I just very slowly reached down and picked up that wastebasket and just stood there and dropped it. And it hits that cement floor, and it just... And students, you know, they jumped in. You know. And others were watching me, and they were laughing and whatnot. And I said, we all responded differently with different emotions to what I just did. And I hooked them into what we were going to talk. That hook took less than a minute to both experience and process. You don't need to take 15 minutes on the hook. It should be something that you can accomplish in a few minutes that pulls them into. And in the book Creative Bible Teaching, Larry Richards gives some great examples of this. And I'm not going to take the time now to repeat those, but I just encourage you to read those. The second part of a good lesson structure is what we call the book section, and that is where we look at new information, biblical information, material from the student manual, the new information that we want to present in this class session. And this could be 20 to 25 minutes in a one-hour class session. Now, right off the bat, most of us spend too much time on this part, and we're trying to cover too much information. And so you need to buy yourself a pair of scissors and put them on your desk and say, I need to stop. I need to cut the amount of information I'm giving them. And number three, the third part of our structure that's a very biblical approach to teaching is the look section. And this is where we relate this information to present-day living. And this needs to be at least 10 minutes or more of the class session. Now, though the hook is always the first part of the class session, the book section and the look section interact with each other. You don't. I don't recommend that you have 25 minutes just of straight information, and now we're going to take the next 10 minutes and process that information. My recommendation is that it be a back-and-forth thing through this this half-hour part of the lesson. And then the fourth part of the lesson is the personal application, the took. And I would encourage you to whatever the personal application is, to have them get started with it in class, if at all possible, so that they're taking it with them as they go outside the classroom. Now, let me just quickly comment about this personal application time. It needs to be specific, but we need to be careful that we are not manipulating them into application. I believe that personal application needs to be personal. It needs to be, if you want to, here's how you take the next step in putting this into practice. Let me give you an example, and I know this is about the group classes, but let me give you an example from the personal studies classes. Lesson 102 is on the plan of salvation. At the end of that lesson, we give them four choices about how they can respond. One of the things that is not included is Now that you have finished this lesson, please read this prayer. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I want to become a Christian. Come into my heart. Amen. You have just become a Christian by reading this prayer. That's not personal application. That's manipulation. Instead of turning it into a formula for something that is more than a formula, we need to put the opportunity there for them and then I remember one student when he was of those four choices, we've tried to make each of those four choices be seen as any one of them is an appropriate option to choose. And one student, he was so nervous, he said, I really want to become a Christian, but I'm just not ready. And he was fearful that he was going to get in trouble. And I said, that's just fine. Don't worry about it. Well, Dave, get the guy to pray the sinner's prayer. You know, what are you waiting for? The Holy Spirit is not uptight. He can work in their life. Now, sometimes people do procrastinate, but this guy wasn't procrastinating. There were legitimate concerns that he had, and you know what? God wasn't uptight about that. Now, he did make a commitment to Christ in the days ahead, but I think what we need to do is let them explore this option carefully, because if they carefully explore it and then apply it, it is likely going to be much more meaningful than if we rush. There was another center that I visited. It's not a teen challenge center. They required everyone to become a Christian before they could come in the program. And they said, in the intake process, we present the plan of salvation, and everybody receives Christ. And they said, no. I said to myself, no, they don't. They just do what it takes to get into the program. That's not legitimate. And so when we talk about personal application, let's be careful that we're not manipulating, that we're clearly presenting the truth and saying, now, you've got to make this next step. You've got to put it into practice. Now, in terms of giving an assignment, that's legitimate. It's legitimate to give them an assignment and say, you need to complete the assignment. But what I think we need to see is this issue of application is something that typically has not been a part of the teaching process of teachers who've taught us in the past. And so for us, it's not easy to do that sometimes. And so when I was working to implement this into my own teaching, part of the challenge that I was faced, that I was working in a center and I had all these other responsibilities. Of course, I realized nobody else has that problem in your center. You just sort of gently pass through the day and you teach your classes and then you just wish you had something else to do, right? I was irritated because staff meetings were being never starting on time. And sometimes it was an hour late. It's like, why can't they get their act together? And the Lord spoke to me one day and said, well, are you starting your class on time and ending your class on time? Well, I'm never 5 minutes late, either starting or ending. It was like the Lord said, well, mind your own business. Take care of your own schedule first. So I started working to start my classes on time and ending my classes on time, and at the same time, doing it in a biblical way. It took me 3 months to get that schedule working for me so that I was starting my class on time and ending my class on time. And at the same time, getting this done. It's a discipline. And I'd say, well, that's just not the way I teach. And my challenge to you is, develop the discipline of a structure that is a biblical approach to teaching, and then use that structure, and you know what? Students will get more out of your class. Now, let me suggest in terms of lesson preparation. Now, what I'm going to say here in these next few minutes might be perceived of as totally unrealistic. Man, Dave, we're already working more than 8 hours a day, and you want me to take all this time now that you're proposing and just walk into class and take the teacher's manual with you and trust the Holy Spirit to guide you, and we just go in the Spirit, which means we don't prepare. Well, let me suggest that you find time to prepare. Now, one of the truisms for teachers is that teachers do 90% of their work at school and 90% of their work at home. You say, well, that's more than 100%. You're good at math. You got that. And so some of you may need to take time on your own time to do the lesson preparation that is needed for your class. What I would like to suggest is that, first of all, you start a file on each of these classes. And in that file, just gather different kinds of ideas and information that relate to this class. And then, second of all, I would suggest that you read the student manual that goes, or the pages of the student manual that go with that particular lesson, so that you're just familiar with the content. Now, let me back up to this file. When I go to church, when I'm doing my devotions, when I'm reading a book, I'm looking for illustrations, I'm looking for scriptures, I'm looking for ideas that connect with what I'm teaching. This morning in the devotion that was being presented, I saw another example from the Bible of the non-traditional approach to teaching. And, I write those ideas down and I just put them in the folder. Now, when I go to teach that class, I may have a bunch of different things in my folder. It doesn't mean I'm going to use everything, but I use it as a way of gathering ideas, because one of the ways that you become creative is you just have found different ideas that can be... People think you're creative and you've just been disciplined to gather ideas. Now, in reading the lesson, the teacher lesson plan in the teacher's manual, there are suggested time recommendations for each of these different points, and those may or may not be realistic given the students that you are teaching. But what I would encourage you to do is to look at that in terms of how much time you're going to have for teaching this lesson to your students, and then check the study guide to see what projects would go along with this particular lesson that you're going to teach. And then go over those personal notes. Now, one of the things that I would recommend, and I'm going to jump ahead of my notes here just to make this point. When you teach a course, my recommendation is as immediately after completing teaching, you sit down and you write out notes about what worked well, what didn't work well, what questions students raised that were helpful. People have asked, Dave, where'd you get all these ideas? I got most of them from the students. And the others, I got most of them after the class was done. I thought, I could have done this, I could have done that. Doesn't mean all those ideas ended up in the lesson, but a lot of times, after you've taught something, that's when you get these creative ideas. Well, some of you are blessed with a photographic memory, and you remember those things. I have been blessed with a sieve, which means it comes in, but it very quickly goes away. And if I don't write it down, no matter how anointed, no matter how wonderful it was, it's not going to get recalled when I teach this again 3-4 months from now. So I write it down, and that way I review those notes. So I just would encourage you to do that as well. Now, number 6, take the test. Not so you can give them all the answers, just so you know what's on the test. And that way when you teach it, you'll sort of make a point to emphasize that. All right, that's just sort of the background. Now we're actually going to start the lesson plan itself. First of all, pray. And I don't say that as a cliche. I'm not there because of the brilliance of Dave Batty. I'm there because the Holy Spirit's there. And if I want to be effective, I need to be in tune with Him. I have a friend of mine who's written many, many books. And he said every day that he writes, he first prays before he writes. And I thought, here's a guy who's got the experience under his belt. He knows how to write books, and he's made a lot of money that way. But he says, every day I write, the first thing I do is I pray. And I thought, he's got his priorities right. It's not about, okay, I got to pray. All right, okay, God, help me with this lesson. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. But it's about really taking time. I'm not saying you have to take a half hour, but, give some quality time to God, saying, God, I really need your help with this lesson. You may have taught it 10 times already, and you may already know the plan you're going to use. But you know what? You need God's help as you prepare to teach it to this group of students. Now, second, review the key biblical truth and the key verse. And just so you get in your head, what's the main thing we're going to cover today in this lesson? Then I would suggest that you take 4 sheets of paper and you put at the top of each one the hook, the book, the look, and the took. And then put down ideas on what can be included in each one of those parts of the lesson. I'm back to this issue of the discipline of creative teaching. You might say, well, Dave, I don't have time to do that. Okay, try it once. Okay? And then after you tried it once, try it again. But just, all right, what would I cover that, you know, maybe you like the one thing that's in the lesson plan. That's fine. I'm not saying you have to have 5 different hooks. You only have 1 hook per lesson. But often as you think about that, you'll come up with some other, well, let me just try this to see how it works for a hook. But then the book, the information, okay, what is the information? You know, have a separate sheet, you know, list off the different things that you're going to fit under that category. And as you develop the discipline of doing it this way and just brainstorming different ideas of what you could use under each of those activities, it can help you to begin to package this lesson. What are we going to try to do with this? How are we going to use this? Now, having done that, then brainstorm methods of teaching. And I'm not going to go into a detailed discussion of different methods that you could use, because in our next workshop we're going to talk about creative methods. But just to say, discipline yourself to use more than one method of teaching. Well, it's really easy just to get up there and lecture. Well, force yourself, and I'll let Greg talk more about that in the next session, but force yourself to use different methods, and people will think you're brilliant. Number 5, then write out a rough draft plan, picking out the things you're going to use and put it into, you might say, well, Dave, it's already written here. That's fine. Write it up yourself, because then you really begin to personalize this process. And then you probably need to cut. You probably got too much in there. You probably got a 2-hour lesson for a 1-hour lesson. And then what I would encourage you to do is add in time for discussion. It's not just about presenting the material, but also giving them a time to interact with it. And then 8, add in illustrations. And I would encourage you to discipline yourself to use illustrations that your students can connect with. If nothing else, have your students give you illustrations during the class session. In fact, that's one of the ways that I would get good illustrations is from what students shared in the class. I said, I'll use that next time I teach, because that's a really good illustration. So I have to write them down because I do not have a photographic memory. But then 9, mark top priority by those parts of the lesson plan that you really got to cover. And if we only get that done, that's okay. It's okay. 10, you probably still need to cut some more, so get those scissors out and just cut away. You know, it's great today with a personal computer. You can just go in there and you can just delete, 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 and just get rid of lines like that. I mean, it's so much easier than it was yesteryear. 11, prepare visuals. We've got to do our students a favor. The students that are coming in today have been raised in a visual generation. I go to many teen challenge centers. They don't even use a chalkboard, far less an overhead projector or a digital video projector or a video or anything. Well, we don't have time for that. Yeah, you do. Just stop being lazy. Come on. You can do better than that. Now, one center, what the teacher did was, on 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper, would just print out the main points that were being used in the lesson. And it would just put them up on the wall. And, you know, you don't have to spend $1,000 to create videos. Boy, today the technology is there. And you might say, well, Well, Dave, we don't have a digital video projector. Well, go get one. Not steal it, but, have somebody give you one. Now, phase three, got to go teach this lesson. And when you teach it with enthusiasm. Any of you have done any of the Dale Carnegie training, there's one of the sessions they do on enthusiasm. They say, lots of times, you're not really very enthusiastic. So, how do you fix that? Well, you just talk to yourself. And this is the plan. They say, act enthusiastic and you'll be enthusiastic. 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 Boy, am I enthusiastic! You know what? You do that twice, you'll feel better. And you go into the class, and you know what? The students are, they are susceptible. They are very susceptible to your contagious diseases. And have the disease of enthusiasm, be excited about what you're teaching. I just can't wait to get in today's lesson because this is really good stuff. And I'm just so glad you're here today. And they, man, this teacher, he just goes in that class. He just goes bananas. You know, what is with this guy? You know what? I would rather you be crazy for Jesus than boring for Jesus. Because Jesus is not something to be bored about. We're giving these students life. We're taking them out of hell. And we're giving them the keys to the kingdom. I mean, that's good stuff to be involved in. And let's teach it with enthusiasm. Number two, mark the actual time by each part of your lesson plan. Now, remember, I said put down your estimated time because if you're going to get to that personal application on time, you got to know what time you're supposed to be done. So, have the time marked out. If your class goes from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, have the times actually written in. This is where I'm supposed to be at this time. And then, as I'm going through it, I just take a different color ink pen and I put down the actual time that I was there. Because, now, you're probably a lot smarter than I am, but I'm not a good guesser on time. I think I can cover this in 5 minutes, and good grief, where did the 15 minutes go? My goodness. That wasn't supposed to happen that way. But the reality of watching that time and of marking the time, you know what it does? It helps you to develop the discipline of staying on track and teaching. Now, I'm not saying that the clock rules the class and the Holy Spirit takes second fill. But sometimes in the name of the Holy Spirit, it's just sloppiness. It's not, you know. So I'll move on. Number three, mark question and answer time. And one of the things Howard Hendricks did, and he's teaching in college seminary, and students would ask a great question. He'd say, "That's a great question." He said, "Man, I'm going to write that down." And he would stop the class. He would write that question down. He'd say, "That's the best question I've heard in 3 weeks," or something like that. And I'm thinking, man, if I'm a student, I'm liking this teacher. I'm thinking, you know, he cares about what we say. It's not just about what he's got that he wants to give us, but he cares about this interaction. Take time to write down good questions that come up. If the question doesn't relate to what you want to cover that day, but you realize that's a good question, I'd say, "John, that's a great question, and we need to talk about that. Today we don't have time, but I want you to write that down and give it to me at the end of the class because I want to make sure we plan on when we're going to cover that." Give them hope that you're going to come back to that sometime in the future. Number four, I just put a D on there when something turned into a big discussion, just so I know. Man, this just, you know. And sometimes the things you think are going to be a great discussion, it's like, okay, nothing's happening. And other times it's like, well, we'll get through this in 2 minutes. And all of a sudden it's like, man, I did not plan for this. And then, of course, some of you had a reputation. The students say, "I'm so glad he's teaching because we can always get him going on something. You know, let's figure out what we can get him going on today." Come on, be disciplined. All right. Phase three, still more here. Narrow the focus. The farther you go in the class session, be narrowing that focus in on the personal application. Don't be introducing brand new concepts 10 minutes before the end of the class session. You know, introduce your new concepts at the beginning, then be moving towards relating that to life, moving to a narrower focus on personal application. Now, after the class is over, number one, debrief. In other words, take some time to write down what went well, what did not go well. And just because it did not go well does not mean you should throw that out and never do it again. It may be that the group of students, because I've had this happen, I taught a lesson, students loved it. Said, man, I got to make sure I do this again next time. Teach it again next time, students hated it. It's like, what happened? Sometimes you just have a different group of students. So just because it doesn't work well doesn't mean you did a bad job. It just may be that those students just didn't connect with that. So don't be too hard on yourself. But, you know, did the key biblical truths work? Did I make them fit the lesson? Number three, evaluate the effectiveness of each of these four components of the class session. Now, sometimes you can come up with a home run for activity to hook their attention. But, you know, sometimes the activity is too good. I mean, they just take it and they run with it. And it takes you 15 minutes to reel them back in. And don't go for something quite that dramatic next time. Go with something a little simpler that gets them into it. But, you know, sometimes your creativity... All right, move on. Number four. Write down your ideas for teaching it next time. Now, doesn't mean you're going to use these ideas, but develop the discipline of writing down ideas. That's how you get to be known as a creative teacher, I believe, is as you work at finding new ways to communicate this truth to your students. And I believe that God can really help you to be creative. And I'll again mention these two books, Creative Bible Teaching by Larry Richards, and then also Creative Teaching Methods by Marlene Lefebvre, and Greg will be talking more about that in the next session.